The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Not So Fast, my friend. Just when it seemed over, word from Green Bay that could change everything. We'll start then. Then it's Broadway Joe facing his biggest test yet. Are these rowdy Rams ready to wreck his Super Bowl dreams? And this is the week it all goes down. You need to hear from Woj on the trade that would upend absolutely everything in the NBA. And you will as we get up with you on this Monday, starting right now. Presented by T-Mobile and proud to present Jeremy Fowler, who's far taller than I realized. Got an elevator with him this morning. The man is tall, sneaky tall.
6'4".
It's really not relevant, but I found it interesting. We got RC and DO ready to go today as well. Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky. Dan is tall too. All right, let's roll. Our first up this morning is Green Bay, at least for now. Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers turning heads when news surfaced that he purchased land in a suburb near Nashville, Tennessee. So you know the way this stuff works. Immediately, the world is connecting him to the Tennessee Titans. So let's catch up on where that puts us. The GM in Tennessee is John Robinson. This is what he said about his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Quote, Ryan is a pro. He knows how much he means to us. Traded for that guy. Gave him an opportunity to start. New contract. I think it's pretty apparent where he stands with us. He's our quarterback. I don't know how many more times I got to say it. Then there's Packers CEO Mark Murphy in his periodic column at Packers.com, saying we are significantly over the salary cap for next year and we'll have to make many difficult decisions in order to get under the cap. A key factor will be whether Aaron Rodgers comes back. Matt, Brian, and Russ Ball and I are all in agreement that we want Aaron to come back. So that's essentially the entire brain trust. You know who all those people are. So let's get into this here. Fowler, let's start with that. Yep. We got the Tennessee of it all, which is interesting, if doesn't feel particularly likely. Where are we right this minute on Aaron Rodgers, the timing, and the future?
Well, here's what I'm hearing. The Packers have been adamant both publicly and privately with Rodgers that they want him back. They've had some early talks with Rodgers, nothing out of the routine, just kind of about the season and where the team is headed. But they feel good about him coming back, and they're remaining firm in their commitment. They're kind of sitting back. Their strategy is like last year. Let him come back, work things out on his own time, let him vent when he needs to, and then they'll figure it out. It's funny, I talked to John Robinson about that quote.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know how many times I got to say it. I said it four or five different times that Ryan Tannehill's our quarterback. So right. I don't see that changing, at least right now.
When you talk to him again, tell him Green, he says at least once more. We're going to have to, he's going to have to say it
it's
at least one
up.
More time. if the more land that Aaron Rodgers buys in the area, the more times we're going to need to hear him say it, unless he just, you know, really loves blues music or country music, whatever they have there in Nashville. All right, Orlovsky, what do you think of all of this? Because, you know, Tennessee is, the minute that game ended, I hate to say it, a lot of us were like, Ryan Tannehill just basically handed away the one seed to Cincinnati in that playoff game. What do you think of the whole thing?
Yeah, well, in Tannehill's defense, that team's in the Super Bowl. As I sit here today, I don't think Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay. Actually, I'd be shocked if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay. And I think the Green Bay Packers need to look at themselves like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did 2 years ago and go all in and make their run for the Super Bowl like the Los Angeles Rams did this past offseason. You know, Brian Gutekunst, you've done a good job of planning for the future and you've committed to build your franchise for the future. It's time, man. Like, it's time to go forward. It's time to see Aaron Rodgers come back and let's sacrifice a little bit of the future for right now. Take some of your picks of the future and go get some other pieces. I think Aaron realizes how good of a football team they are. I think Aaron realizes how good of a scheme fit that he has within Matt LaFleur's system and that Kyle Shanahan system. And I just think Aaron understands and believes the best path or the most likely path for a Super Bowl is to stay right where he is in the NFC North, continue to win that division, and stay the heck away from the AFC.
You agree with that, Ryan?
Yeah, I do. You know, I said this last week or even after they lost, that the best place for Aaron Rodgers was going to be with the Green Bay Packers. This is the team that's won 13 games in the regular seasons for the last 3 years. They've been to two NFC championships. You don't leave those places because you don't believe you have a chance to win, because clearly you do. And I agree with Dan, though. If you're the Green Bay Packers, try to figure out a way that you can make Aaron Rodgers feel that even with your cap space, even with the places and the way that you're hurting as far as picking up new free agents, you'll do some things that are creative and say, you know what? We may not be great in 2025. We may not be great in 2026. We may not have draft picks at those times. But for this year, for this opportunity with Aaron Rodgers, we're going all in because of him. The Green Bay Packers have been more vocal this year very early than they were the entire offseason last year. That tells me that the relationship with Aaron Rodgers is better, that they believe Aaron Rodgers would like to come back, and it seems that for them, it's a no-brainer. It's Aaron Rodgers or nobody in that building.
Well, last year, the thing went all the way to July. I remember sitting here and doing live coverage of Aaron Rodgers walking into the building for the first time wearing a T-shirt from the office, you know, as though this was some major breaking news, because it kind of was, because we didn't know if it was going to happen. So you say it's going to happen, obviously, sooner than that. Give me a sense of what soon means.
I don't think they would draw this out throughout the offseason. They have to address his contract if he stays. He's got a $46 million cap hit on the last year of a deal. It would void in 2023. So they got to shake that out, figure it out. So it's possible Rodgers comes back to them and says, hey, I want to be traded. Let's work something out. At that point, they would field calls. I talked to one league exec that thinks at least 6 to 8 teams would put in a call. You got to think Denver with Nathaniel Hackett, their new coach, Rodgers' former offensive coordinator, would put in a call. But right now, there are no indications that they're even going to take those calls.
Yeah, I mean, they've built Green Bay West in Denver, right? Yeah. I mean, Dan, it's going to look very strange.
Don't go to Denver.
If Aaron Rodgers does – what? Why are you shaking your head?
Don't go to Denver. I've said it last week. It's a death sentence out there. The Chargers are going to be a lot better. You got the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver's a good football team. The Raiders are going to be a lot better. Greeny, the AFC is not a place for a Super Bowl or a quarterback to go and try to go make a last Super Bowl run. This is very similar to what Tom did in New England. When Tom was making his decision a couple years ago, it was get out of the AFC because it was so loaded. If I'm Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers wants to say, I want to make a final run at the Super Bowl, your by far easiest path is in the NFC. I don't know if there's a team outside of like the Rams that we sit there and go, my goodness, that's the team you got to conquer.
I agree.
Not go. Denver's the best fit. Yeah. It's not the smartest choice.
Give me 10 seconds on that, RC. You agree with that? His best chance to win next year's Super Bowl is staying where he is.
Staying in the NFC, if you look at the NFC's quarterbacks, look at the NFC's teams, they are nowhere close to what the AFC is. Yes. And we could keep talking about Tennessee all we want. And I just want to tell you this, Greeny, rich people buy land. You know this because you're rich. So let's not follow Aaron Rodgers everywhere he goes to buy property.
Okay. All right. That's well said. All right. 6 days away
he
from
didn't
the
dispute
I have
it
no
either.
Comeback
he
to that except
it,
to say it's the week of the Super Bowl. We're 6 days away. Danny, let's do some matchups here. What is the matchup you're watching in the Super Bowl, Orlovsky?
Yeah, I'm going to watch Cooper Kupp versus Mike Hilton, the slot receiver versus that slot nickel defender. Cooper Kupp, this postseason, has 25 catches on 33 targets for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Now, Mike Hilton, which is probably not a name that people know a ton about, is giving up 3 catches. He has given up 3 catches this postseason. We're talking dog on dog. I can't wait to watch these two greats go at it.
How about this one, RC? How about yours?
Listen, I'm going on the other side of the football for the defender, and that's Jalen Ramsey against Ja'Marr Chase, my favorite wide receiver in the entire league, because this is what is important. How will Raheem Morris use Jalen Ramsey? He's played inside. He's played outside. He's matched on Debo Samuel. He's matched George Kittle. We've also seen him on Mike Evans. So it's going to be a chess match between the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals and defensive coordinator of the Rams of where will Jalen Ramsey be, because that'll be important for Joe Burrow to know.
I want to talk about that one a little bit later. Jeremy, what matchup are you watching?
I'm going to go Aaron Donald versus the Bengals interior line. I know the former quarterback and the defensive back want to go with the passing game. I'm going to go inside because Joe Burrow's taken 95 sacks in the last 2 years, counting the playoffs, 9 sacks against Tennessee. Aaron Donald's got Von Miller on one side. He's got Leonard Floyd on the other side. Those guys are going to rush the passer. He's going to be able to do work. inside. That's where the game's going to be decided.
One would think, yeah. So let's dive into that then. RC, with the expectation, again, there were 9 sacks in that game against Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. The line has held up better than that since then. But RC, what does Joe Burrow have to be thinking about against that Ram defense on Sunday?
He has to be thinking about getting the football out of his hands. He also has to understand what the smart play is. And I think that's the most important thing about Joe Burrow. If you look at him in the second half of the Kansas City Chiefs game, he wasn't just throwing the football all around the yard. He wasn't making these plays that put his team in danger. He was making the smart play. He would take a sack if he needed to take a sack. He'd throw the football away if he needed to throw away. He would take the screen, take the quick pass. That's who Joe Burrow is. And even the same thing when we watched him against the Tennessee Titans. There was never any panic with him. When you looked at him on the sideline, he was calm, he was relaxed, he understood what the right is. He has to be the exact same way this week. He can't get pressured by Aaron Donald late in the game and throw a spin around behind the back Ja Morant pass for an interception like we saw Jimmy Garoppolo do. And that's not who Joe Burrow is. I promise you this. It will not be pressure. It will not be adversity. It will not be a moment that's too big that causes the Cincinnati Bengals to lose this game because of Joe Burrow. He'll be calm. He'll understand where the right play is, and he'll make it.
Danny, you have tape?
Yeah, I think there's 3 plays that are examples, one from each game, of why Joe Burrow and the Bengals are in the Super Bowl. It's also an example of he's going to need kind of the combination of all those as much as he can against the Rams to beat this football team. When and where? Down in the red zone against the Raiders early on, he's going to have his tight end on the right side just run a pivot at the goal line. Understand, I've got to hold that linebacker number 5 with my eyes vertical as the safety comes over. When's the football got to come out? Now. Now, where's it got to be? On his left shoulder before that safety gets there. He's going to have to do that repetitively against the Rams. The second one is going to be this. Clue gatherer. Get information, especially in got-to-have-it situations. Number 1. Defensive back on the tight end. That tells me I'm going to get man-to-man coverage pre-snap. Number 2, watch my safeties post-snap. They both open up to the sidelines. I'm getting 2-man, 2-high safeties in zone, man underneath. And then number 3, get the ball out at the right time because that's my only option. 3 seconds, put my back foot in the ground. Right before Jamar is open, get the ball placed perfectly to the sideline. Spectacular. And then whoever it takes. You see the got-to-have-it field goal line, right? Now, Jamar has the bottom of the screen. That's the guy I want in that moment, but that safety is going to lean that way. All right, T. Higgins, you're the guy right now. You've got a slant, and he sees the safety go to the flat. The linebacker mugs up the back. It's not my number 1 receiver, but it's the guy in that moment that has to get the football for us to get that game-winning field goal attempt. He puts it right on his face so he can use his frame to go make that catch. I think those 3 plays are the perfect example of why Joe Burrow has led this football team to the Super Bowl. It's also a little bit of a foreshadowing that's the style that he's going to need to play to beat this really, really good Rams defense.
I can't even fathom the degree to which the legend of where the legend of Joe Burrow goes if he finds a way to beat this defense.
Yeah, it's funny, when I talk to a few execs around the league, they typically say the same thing. He just never looks stressed out. He always looks comfortable, whether it's getting beat up by the Titans front or, you know, he's losing 21-3 on the road to Kansas City. Everything's the same, and so the team creates a belief system around that. And regardless of what happens in this game, the Bengals are coming out of this year with maybe the best collection of skill talent in the entire league. When you have Tyler Boyd, who's really, really good, as like your 3rd receiver, you're absolutely loaded.
Now, absolutely. You know, people don't talk about the running back as much as they do in some other places. Now, the Bengals are set up. They're going into this thing for playing for house money, and the future looks awfully good. I will take a short break on that thought. We have so much to do on this busy Monday, kicking off Super Week. Coming up, how about them coaches? Dallas running it all back. I ask you, how in the actual heck does this make sense? We'll try to figure it out. Plus, should the Seahawks run it back with Russell? One of his former teammates says letting Russ cook is not a winning recipe. Is he right? That's the question. We'll have the answer as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
GetUp is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network, and in part by Arby's. Arby's, we have the meats. And we have the Pro Bowl yesterday from Vegas. Hey, Dan Orlovsky, AFC, NFC. Here we go. Second quarter, Kyler Murray doing what Kyler Murray does.
Yeah, just tremendous effort by everybody on the field. Kyler throws it back across his body. Mike Evans makes probably the easiest You Got Moss catch in the history of the segment. And that's not a dunk.
Russell Wilson threw 2 interceptions in this game, Dan.
Yeah, I mean... again, the effort is spectacular. Little double move, Derwin James, nice little layup. And now we got brother on brother, Greeny. Yeah. I'm not going to disrespect Stephon. He's the better receiver of the duo.
But they got hand fighting here. You got to look at Trayvon is flinging him away. And now we're going back on the other side. And Stephon, I like the point at the end of this play here. We'll show it to you twice so you can see the point.
This is brother on brother disrespect. My guess is this happened 1,000 times when they were growing up in the backyard.
But then, without question, the best moment of this game is coming up. First of all, Mac Jones. Tom Brady, you should know, never threw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. So Mac Jones has outdone him with that right here.
Man, who the heck found that stat nugget for you, Greeny? Was that a Hembo thing? How can we paint this picture? It's a nice throw to Renfrow, though. Nice throw.
That's a good throw. But then how about this? So this play, this is Mac Jones. Play's going to be blown dead. He seems to be the only one on the field who doesn't know that. And so he runs the length of the field. But the important part, Dan, I want you to judge the gritty that he does at the end of the play.
Yeah, Greeny, when I was in college, my boys took me to the 40-40 Club at the Atlantic City nightclub. Uh-huh. And this is what I looked like when I went in there. And that's how everyone's reaction was, Justin Jefferson's, to when I danced.
Who did a better gritty, Mac Jones or Shefty? That's the question. AFC wins again, by the way. They've won 5 straight games in the Pro Bowl. All right, now we just saw Russell Wilson throw 2 interceptions in that game. That is what it is. Wilson has 2 years left on his contract with Seattle, but after being openly critical of their front office last year, questions about his future have risen again. I want you to hear his former teammate, Richard Sherman, addressing all those who would say, let Russ cook. Listen.
The identity of a Pete Carroll and a championship team, as it always has been, is run the ball, limit the turnovers, play solid defense to what their formula was. And people were like, let Russ cook. You did not win a Super Bowl letting Russ cook. You have not been anywhere close to a Super Bowl letting Russ cook. You will not be close to a Super Bowl if you let him throw it 30, 40 times a game.
Okay, so you got his former teammate Richard Sherman saying don't let Russ cook. You got his former teammate KJ Wright saying he needs to take less money. So circa 10 years ago, things are very bad between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Where are they as far as the present is concerned?
Well, Greeny, I talked to 2 people inside the organization leading up to this show. They said they would be surprised if Russell Wilson was dealt. I know there's been some speculation about that for the last year or so. They feel like Seattle and Russell Wilson are in a good place right now, relationally. And Russell Wilson would have to sort of force the issue and request a trade at this point. And there's no evidence he's willing to do that. Now, Richard Sherman is correct. There are some people with the team who agree with him. They feel like they need to have ball control and stay close to their identity. If Russell has a problem with that, then there could be a rub down the road. The only issue that the sources I talked to brought up is that Seattle has looked at trading him in the past.
Right.
They talked to Cleveland at one point years ago. They talked to Chicago last year. So always sort of on the table.
RC, it's so difficult for me to try and put...
Russell Wilson in a place right now. Like, I think there was a moment in time when we thought that when the Brady Rodgers generation went off, that it was going to be Russell's league, that he was going to be the best quarterback, and that never happened. What exactly, where exactly is he right now?
Russell Wilson is a very good football player. Russell Wilson is a really good quarterback. Russell Wilson's not a great quarterback. Russell Wilson is not an all-time great quarterback. He's never going to be in those conversations. And so we have to stop putting him in those, in that world that any team that has Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl. This is kind of like Big Ben's trajectory, but I think Big Ben was the better football player, where Big Ben wins too when the defense is great and when they have a run game and when you limit turnovers, and then when he gets the killer bees, this offense is high flying. He's one of the best players in the football game, and you don't win a championship. And so Richard Sherman is kind of just pointing to philosophy, not necessarily what Russell Wilson is as a quarterback. He's pointing to the way that they've won. But we have to stop including Russell Wilson in these talks that if Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? If Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? This isn't basketball. And frankly, Russell Wilson actually isn't that great. He isn't that much of a factor that changes who football teams are. And so now it's thinking to ourselves, is he an upgrade over the quarterback we have? And can he make us a better team? And that's not every team in the NFL.
Dan, you agree?
Yeah, no, I disagree. I would say this. I think Russell Wilson is a team-changing quarterback, a franchise-changing quarterback. Russell Wilson in the last 2 years has not played up to his standard, his expectation. He's thrown for 65 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. That's Russell Wilson's bad. You know, like, you know how many organizations would take that from their quarterback and say that that is their good? That's his bad. I agree that he has not played up to his standard. This is where I would push back the most, and I have worlds of respect for Richard Sherman, specifically as a player, and he's going to have a bright career in television and media if he wants. The Seattle Seahawks have been a different organization over the past 5 or 6, 7 years, not because of Russell Wilson's play, but because they drafted God awfully. You know, their drafts have been atrocious, and that's the main reason why. They haven't fallen off because they decided to let Russ cook, or they decided to let Russ throw the football more. They've fallen off because they can't draft anymore. I mean, think about it for the people at home. Go ahead, RC. Yeah. You know, they just don't draft well.
No. Yeah, no. I was just saying that's a great point. But we also have to realize that it wasn't that they drafted at the top of the draft extremely well. It was that they drafted throughout. Cam Chancellor and, you know, Richard Sherman are guys who are fifth round picks. You get a guy like Bobby Wagner in the second round. Hell, Russell Wilson was a third round pick. John Snyder and Pete Carroll did an extremely good job early on in their tenure to build a team, to build a team that was deep, to build a team that didn't necessarily had to be top heavy monetarily. And so I do believe that those things are true, but just looking at the stats of Russell Wilson doesn't necessarily always play to the effect of Russell Wilson.
I agree.
For me, especially in the last 2 years when they wanted to let Russ cook and it was supposed to be his team.
All right, put a bookmark in that. I want to come back to this for sure. I think there's a lot more to be said. I'm up against the bottom of the hour, so let's pause briefly. But I'm coming back to that one as we continue. I'm also coming to this. Mike McCarthy and his shadows. What is happening in Jerry's world? He's running it back with these coaches. Is that a huge mistake? We're diving in. Plus, the trade deadline is Thursday. Could James Harden end up in Philadelphia this week? Woj is here with new information. Don't miss it. He's next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. As we begin Super Bowl week. There's a lot of news. Jeremy Fowler, let's run the hurry up, including what happened involving Alvin Kamara yesterday in Las Vegas.
Well, Green, Kamara played in the Pro Bowl on Sunday, but afterward he was arrested and accused of beating someone in a Las Vegas nightclub. So he does face charges of battery. He played in the game, but afterward was detained. There is a bail set currently. So right now there is no clarity from the Saints or Kamara on the matter, but certainly a story to watch. Now in coaching news, Lovie Smith in talk to the Houston Texans about potentially becoming their head coach, according to our Adam Schefter and Field Yates. This one's interesting. The Texans pulled a fast one because for days, many people I talked to around the league expected Josh McCown to be that guy. Over the weekend, they started telling other candidates, such as Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon, that they were out of the running. Now Smith very much comes to the forefront. It's worth noting that McCown and Lovie Smith are tight. Maybe that there's some sort of plan where McCown could join the staff eventually. Now we got the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel. Dolphins have their man. I'm told in the interview process, McDaniel hit a home run in several areas. He sold his creative game plans. He sold his ability to relate to players and coaches. He's well respected by everybody that he's worked with when the Dolphins did their due diligence on him. And his plan for Tua Tagovailoa, they're very excited about. Not only that, but McDaniel sold on their young defensive pieces. He feels like they're in a really good shape there. It's all about maximizing Tua. They believe that they can give him a quicker passing game, getting him going in year three.
So he's going from San Francisco to Miami. And after breaking the news of that hiring, our Adam Schefter then followed up by tweeting this. So the Dallas Cowboys now get to keep both of their coordinators, Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn, because it was Moore who had been in the running for that job, we believe, right up until the end. And so, RC, it does sort of beg the question. Oh, there you are. RC, it does sort of beg the question. You know, they're just running it back in Dallas. In some cases, you would think, well, continuity, that's always a good thing in the NFL, but they're bringing back the coach and the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator from a team that really disappointed with the way their season ending. Does that make sense?
I mean, it makes sense if you believe in those people, but it doesn't make sense if the only reason you believe in some of those people is because other people like them. Because just because Kellen Moore has gone on all these different interviews, are you truly evaluating what he was as an offensive coach? Are you evaluating the progression of the Dallas Cowboys throughout the season? And you already know how I feel about Mike McCarthy, so I won't go back to that. What I'll go to is, where do the Dallas Cowboys get better? Where do they get new ideas from? Obviously, the defense is evolving, and the defense doesn't have the type of high-priced players on it that the offense does. And so if you're going to have the Tyron Smiths and the Zach Martins and the Dak Prescott, CDs, Amari, just to name a few, if you're going to have all of these guys, how do we get them to play better doing the exact same thing over again? And so is Kellen Moore going to evolve? Is Kellen Moore going to get more creative? And is Mike McCarthy going to allow him to? And so where in a lot of cases, running it back makes a ton of sense and you get to have continuity, you get to have consistency, where are these guys going to improve and help their players improve that this makes more sense? To me, it's cool and it's all fun and we can brag about it if we're Jerry, but it doesn't make sense if they don't change.
Danny?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy will have the most amount of pressure on him out of anybody in the NFL next season. And it's not even close. Greeny, you have heard me say that quote before, expectation breeds disappointment. The expectation with this football team coming back basically in tow and Mike McCarthy still as their head coach coming off of a 12-win season has to be the NFC Championship game. And if they don't get there or if they're on their road to not getting there, Jerry Jones is going to fire Mike McCarthy. Okay, now I do believe that this team has talent, but they also have issues and holes that they have to fix. They got to address their offensive line. 2 years ago, it was one of the best units in all football. It's become a weakness. Let's see if Tyron Smith continues to play football. I think that's got to be a conversation. What do they do with Amari Cooper? I wouldn't be shocked if this team cut Amari Cooper, candidly. They've got to make a decision because they pay him a lot of money. They got to find a way to keep their tight end, Dalton Schultz. They got to find a way to keep Randy Gregory at the defensive end spot. They got to get a playmaker at safety. So this is a good football team, but they got some issues that and holes that they have to fix. But there's not a person in the NFL, person, player or coach, that is going to be under more pressure than Mike McCarthy.
Now, I agree with that completely. It's fascinating the way the owner is choosing to go about this. A year ago, he handled that team like it was a win-now team. Right now, he's handling it like it is a team that is ascending, that it is a team whose window is opening as opposed to one whose window feels like it's closer to closing. Interesting. It's a risky move. We'll see where it winds up. Guys, stay close by. Much more football as we go. But to the NBA is our next stop. The Nuggets and the Nets last night. Brooklyn coming in off seven consecutive losses and no James Harden last night. He was sitting out with a hamstring. First quarter, that's Nikola Jokic. That's not a good pass. That's Patty Mills to Kyrie for a three, and the Nets are in it. Now we got Jokic on the other end, laying it up and good. He had 27 and 12 and 10, the traditional Jokic triple-double. Now, off a Nets miss, we're swinging it around. That's Kyrie on the corner. He had 27. Nets a five-point lead. We're still in the second. Super high scoring. Look at Kyrie splitting the defense. Teams would combine for 151 points in the first half, most of any game in the NBA this year. Third quarter, Jokic to the hole, and it's good. Nuggets take a six-point lead, and they're opening. The Nuggets up eight now, later in the third. Gordon in the corner for a three. It's an 11-point game, still in the third. Nuggets up 14. Jokic, his 14th triple-double of the year. Nuggets go on to win it by 20. Nets have lost eight straight. Meanwhile, Steve Nash before the game talking about James Harden and the trade deadline.
The trade deadline coming up Thursday. Have you had any, I guess, any further conversations with him about where you guys stand or even where his mindset is?
No, I've talked to James. He wants to be here. You know, he wants to be here long term as well. So I don't think anything's changed other than noise from the outside. James wants to be here. We're building with James, and we think we have the best chance to win with James. So, you know, I don't think anything's changed on the inside, in our locker room, in our communication. It's just all the noise from the outside.
All right, and so the man you need to hear from is this man right here. No one will have a busier week leading up to the deadline than Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, you and I were talking about this on Saturday. James Harden sits out again last night. They've lost eight straight games. How do we look at the James Harden of it all between now and Thursday?
Well, Greeny, start with this, and Ramona Shelburne and I reported this morning on ESPN.com. Daryl Morey called Sean Marks about a month ago. And kind of a perfunctory month out from the trade deadline call that GMs make. But before he hung up, he asked Sean Marks, what about James? And Sean Marks responded, well, James who? Because there are two Jameses on the Nets, Johnson and Harden. And Morey assured him it was James Harden. And Sean Marks responded, no. And so they have not spoken again, I'm told. We are 3 days from the trade deadline. And it remains to be seen whether Philly will try to re-engage Brooklyn on James Harden. But like Steve Nash said yesterday, the Nets are listening to James Harden. He's telling them he wants to be there, that he's committed. Now, you can look at it and perhaps see something less than that. They believe him on his injury, the hamstring he's sitting out with. You know, but right now, listen, anything can happen trade deadline week. And when you've lost eight games in a row, when a player like James Harden is maybe not inspiring the confidence, you know, perhaps you are willing to listen to a massive offer from Philly. But right now, there's no indications that that's going to happen. And Philly has yet to call Brooklyn back. They may just wait till the offseason and pursue James Harden then, when he can either be a free agent or they could then discuss a sign and trade deal because he has a year left on his deal that he could opt into.
To be clear, Daryl Morey is a person of interest, if you will, in all of this. A, because he has a long history with Harden. They were together in Houston for all those years. And B, because he has the Ben Simmons situation sitting there with him in Philadelphia. That's the other one we watch closely. As we begin this week, what is the latest with Simmons?
The Sixers will be engaged in conversations on Simmons this week, but they're no closer to a trade for him, and they want to wait out whether it's a James Harden, whether it's other star players who may become available after the season that aren't now. Philly has shown no indication that they're going to sell short on Ben Simmons and do a deal that they don't really love. And they have a willingness to take this into the offseason. But I do think they'll talk with teams this week, perhaps even Brooklyn. But it would take a lot more than Ben Simmons to get James Harden out of the Nets, if the Nets are even willing to listen.
All right, outstanding. Woj, again, who will be the busiest man in the business all week long. We'll see you later in the week here. And let's get Jay Will. Come and jump on here, my man. Jay Will is across the hall, obviously, every single morning on ESPN Radio. I want to touch on both of those. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the Simmons of it all in Philadelphia. What a mess this has been all year. The last chance to solve it, if you will, before the offseason is this week. How do you see it?
I don't see Ben Simmons moving. And I actually give Daryl Morey a lot of credit here. In order to get the return on the asset that Ben Simmons is, the best move right now is to sit and to wait. You have Damian Lillard this offseason potentially. You have what's going on with James Harden. How will that situation pan out with the Brooklyn Nets? You sit, you hold, and you wait.
All right, and then let's get back to Brooklyn. So, again, they've lost 8 consecutive games. Harden doesn't play last night. KD's been out all this time. KD is the one who is committed to that franchise long-term at this point. So where is he relative to all of this with Harden and everything else?
Well, I mean, look, I think Kevin Durant wants everything to work. Obviously, you want things to work. I think you overall evaluate this team, Greeny, with do they win a championship? They were so close last year to get into the NBA Finals without Kyrie Irving, with James Harden limping on the floor. So my thing is, we are in the dog days right now of February. And I know that we as media, we love to build these type of narratives up because his body language looks bad. He gets frustrated when he talks at the post-press conferences for James Harden. They're not playing well. They lost 8 straight. Defensively, they rank last in the NBA right now, defensive rating in the last 10 games. But I'm trying to tell you, when it comes down to it, if they can all be on the court healthy together down the stretch, James Harden will stay if this team wins a championship. If they don't, I don't know.
Well, you know who agrees with you is Vegas. Vegas still actually has the Nets, who have lost 8 straight games and are closer to the bottom of the playoff race in the East than the top, as the favorites to win the NBA championship. If they are healthy, in your mind, because they've had other – I mean, their defense has been terrible. If they're all healthy, in your opinion, are they the favorite to win it all?
I would still say I think Phoenix probably is. I think Phoenix is. Mm-hmm. But I think the Brooklyn,
East, do they win the East?
Yes, they
win the East. Not Miami. I've got Miami. Milwaukee.
Give me a second. Can we stop trying to make these guys have a damn divorce? Like
which guys?
I get just the James Harden, KD, Kyrie. And I get that there's a lot that comes with it. I understand how Stephen A. feels about Kyrie. I understand what's going on with James Harden. The gloomy weather outside, it's dark. They can't win damn games. James Harden's in the same boat he was back in Houston. I understand all that. Let Kevin Durant, the greatest scorer in the game of basketball right now, come back and play on this team. Let them start winning games and watch how the narrative changes very quickly. All of a sudden, everybody who jumped off the train is going to be saying, man, those 3 guys together are playing really, really well.
I hear you, but the one thing that doesn't change is the Kyrie of it all, unless there's either some change by him or some change in the vaccination policy in New York.
Greeny, you guys all thought I was sitting here crazy when I say the Nets being in that 5-8 range. Right? Where are they now? They're 4.5 games behind first place, but they're like, they will be in a play-in tournament right now, right?
Right.
Okay.
Maybe they fall. They were 6th the other day.
Once again, I take Kyrie, James Harden, and KD playing the majority of the games in a 7-game series. I'll take that between the 5-8 range.
I get it. I understand. Like I said, Vegas agrees with you. All right, we'll see what happens. You got to get back to radio. Thank you, my man, as always.
It's
a very busy week. We got really good games Wednesday night, by the way. We'll be here for that. You got DeRozan and the Bulls. You got LaMelo and the Hornets. They'll play 7:30 Eastern, and then a great one out west. You got the Warriors with Steph and Clay taking on Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. We'll be here the night before the trade deadline for Countdown, getting you ready with all the insight and action. That's 7 Eastern. So a big night of NBA Wednesday here on ESPN. Coming up, the Steelers in the market for a new quarterback. We got the one guy who'd be a perfect fit. We'll tell you who it is next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. And our next stop, There's Jacksonville, where Doug Peterson was hired as the new head coach of the Jaguars last week after a lengthy coaching search. His new quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, had a lot of exciting thoughts about the turning over of a new leaf. He said, quote, "I think everybody's excited. Everybody's really relieved. We got our guy. To be able to move forward and go to work now is a really good feeling. He played the quarterback position, so he sees it through my lens more so than a lot of coaches that haven't played the position. And I will remind everyone as I bring the guys back in that when Doug Peterson was with Carson Wentz had by far his best seasons. I know, but it's very fashionable to say the things we always say about Wentz right now. So, Dan, the question is this. Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be the John Elway and Andrew Luck all rolled up into one. Is Doug Peterson the right guy to make him that?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only is Doug Peterson the right guy for Trevor Lawrence, he's also a coach that won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl with a starter? So that tells you the type of coach he is. I think this, Greeny, it's not only what he did well when he had Carson Wentz in his second season playing at MVP-level football, super talented young player. It's also what did he learn from that last year with Carson Wentz. I'm not saying it was all just the player or the coach. But the coach had some impact on taking Carson Wentz from being an MVP to the worst quarterback in football two seasons ago. What did he learn from that that he can take and apply to this development of Trevor Lawrence? Again, a highly talented, high draft pick at the quarterback position. This is step one of a three-step process for Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Get a great coach. They need to get a better offensive line and skill position people. But if Trevor Lawrence is going to go reach his heights, Doug Peterson is a guy that's going to take him there.
It's interesting, RC. There was a moment in time, and as Dan points out, wasn't that long ago that we talked about Doug Peterson like he was a star in coaching circles. Things ended so badly in Philly that it kind of everybody's shine wore off, if you will, to some degree. But this could wind up being a slam dunk, it seems to me, RC.
No, this is the slam dunk. When you're a guy that has the success that Doug Peterson has had, you're supposed to be a head coach in the NFL. And now you go to Jacksonville and you pair him with one of the elite talents at the quarterback that we've seen in years, and you expect that to be a good marriage. I think the other thing that's missed when Trevor Lawrence talks about playing the position is also the handling of the position. The way that you deal with quarterbacks is different than how you deal with anybody else on the team. And I think Trevor Lawrence understands that, and he knows he didn't get that from a guy like Urban Meyer. And when you look at a coach that had a Carson Wentz in the MVP conversation in 2017, also had a backup quarterback win the Super Bowl and even play well in the playoffs the next year, you have trust that he understands how to handle quarterbacks and how to put them in the best situation to succeed. And I also think Dan's point on he also knows what not to do now from watching Carson Wentz deteriorate is also a major factor why this could be successful.
All right, let's run through a bunch of other stuff here. There's so many stories here as we begin Super Week. I'll put 30 seconds on the clock for a bunch of these. Dan, let's start in Miami. What do the fans need to know about the Dolphins' new coach, Mike McDaniel? 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins just hired the next Andy Reid. You know, Mike McDaniel is a guy that has grown up in this Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan system longer than anybody in the NFL outside of Kyle. And I think the great thing about him is he is going to change and innovate this offense that for 40 years in the NFL really hasn't or hasn't needed to. He's got this really great vision that people will buy into. Now, I don't know Mike personally, but I know a lot of people who do, and they rave and say he is as good as an X and O's guy as there is in the NFL.
All right, it's obviously a complicated time in Miami. We'll see how they put that together. Next, RC, 30 seconds on the clock. Has the Chiefs championship window closed? Go.
Absolutely not. Himbo sent me a stat that because of Mahomes' low cap number, they've wasted the last 4 years. You don't waste the last 4 years in AFC championships. But the other piece of it is this. When you have a guy like Pat Mahomes and a coach like Andy Reid, you can continue to reinvent yourself. And so I believe they'll always be in the running. They'll always have an opportunity to win. And what we've learned is you don't have to have the best team on paper. You don't have to have the best team all season. You have to have a team that gets hot in the hottest moment. We saw the Cincinnati Bengals do it and the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they were up 21-3 in that game at home. That's one that's going to stick a little bit. All right, Dan, one more for you. Jimmy Garoppolo, we assume, is on his way out of San Francisco. Yeah. 30 seconds. What's the best spot for him to go next?
I'll say the Pittsburgh Steelers. Two reasons why. Number one, the Steelers offensively are going to be built around their young skill talent. If we're talking Pat Freiermuth, the tight end, who's fantastic, Najee Harris, at tailback, Deontay Johnson at wide receiver, Chase Claypool. So that's their offense. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo fundamentally is best when he is a ball distributor. You know, playing the quarterback position like a point guard and just getting it into the hands of those playmakers. I think it's a good marriage. I think putting him under center where he's comfortable is going to help that subpar offensive line of Pittsburgh. I'm going to say the Steelers.
Ooh. Well, we happen to have my favorite former Steeler sitting right here. RC, what do you think? Jimmy G to Pittsburgh.
Listen, you know, I wouldn't be necessarily excited about it, but I can see it. And I can also see it working. Yeah. I think when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they went and thought to themselves, offense, let's throw the ball all around the yard, they won at their best. And if you get a guy like Jimmy G, who is a ball distributor, who does understand how to make the correct play most of the time, mm-hmm. I believe that this team could be successful. I don't know if just that piece, though, makes this team a Super Bowl contender, and that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers are used to being. And so it'll be interesting to see if they try to make this move, and in making this move, what other moves do they make that allow this to be a marriage that takes them from a team that lost early in the playoffs to a Super Bowl contender.
That's another one I want to come back to. I have a few thoughts for that, and we will as we go. Meanwhile, I want to remind everybody, college basketball, our ACC Big 12 Monday doubleheader tonight, 7 Eastern, number 9 Duke hosting Virginia. That's at Cameron Indoor. Then number 10 Kansas squaring off against number 23 Texas. Both games are right here on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up here, the Packers have a plan to keep Aaron Rodgers from walking out the door. We'll tell you what it is and whether or not it has a real chance to work as we crank up another hour here for you of Get Up, which is brought to you by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. From where you tailgate, only T-Mobile keeps you connected to your team with the most 5G coverage nationwide. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.